Hi, everybody. My name is Alex. For my podcast topic, I chose the factors that fuel America's opioid epidemic. I chose this topic because I actually live in a city who has been very much impacted by the opioid epidemic. I live in Springfield, Ohio. Springfield is very close to Montgomery County. It's actually right next to it. Montgomery County was actually reported by the Dayton Daily News in 2016 and 2017 to have the highest number of overdoses of any county in Ohio. I also chose this because I have had some personal family experiences with it, with which I will elaborate on later. First topic are DTCPAs, or direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical advertisements. These are your basic TV commercial drug ads for prescription drugs. They're actually only used in the U.S. and New Zealand, but they promote the drug directly to patients rather than going through the physician. So these have some benefits. They do inform the patient, you know, that there are drugs out there that can help them. It kind of empowers them. Also, in 2004, 53% of physicians reported that improved their discussion and communication with their patients. However, these can also have setbacks. It actually overemphasizes drug benefits. So rather than telling the patient how it works and how it could possibly help you, it kind of just shows them a picture of direct happiness. It also encourages drug overutilization. It kind of gives the patient a feeling that they can go and ask their doctor for whatever they want, and this is what they need, and it kind of influences the doctor a little bit. So I'm going to play you guys a commercial for a Cymbalta commercial, which is an antidepressant. So kind of pay attention to the narrator's tone of voice and how it changes over through the ad.
When you're depressed, where do you want to go? Nowhere. Who do you feel like seeing? No one. Depression hurts in so many ways. Sadness, loss of interest, anxiety. Cymbalta can help. Cymbalta is a prescription medication that treats many symptoms of depression. Tell your doctor right away if your depression worsens, you have unusual changes in behavior, or thoughts of suicide. Antidepressants can increase these in children, teens, and young adults. Cymbalta is not approved for children under 18.
Okay, so I'm gonna stop it there. You guys kind of get the point. I know you can't see the video, but it kind of starts off showing this woman. She's very sad. She's very depressed. She's by herself. You can hear the narrator's voice is very sad and gloomy. However, as soon as that prescription drug name comes up, Cymbalta, the narrator's voice gets happier and not as sad and gloomy. And so does the video. It's very bright and cheerful and starts to show this woman spending time with her family and camping with her kids. So even as it goes in to explain the side effects, they still sound happy. So you're not really paying attention to all the bad things that can go wrong. You're watching this happy woman with her happy family. I also don't want to say that they're always bad. These ads can, I mean, they're not always bad. However, just personally, they should be more regulated. I think they should be more informational rather than just kind of being portrayed as a sales ad for a drug. I feel like they should be given to the physician since they're the ones who actually know what is good for the patient. Rather than these patients seeing these ads and not really knowing what they do to them and going in and trying to influence their doctors of what they need, which it's sad to say, but I mean, doctors can be influenced. So it kind of just normalizes these drug-taking behaviors and makes people think that they know exactly what their body needs, which, if normalized enough, it kind of is a gateway to other drugs and makes you think that you can use other drugs that will help your body when they really might not, like opioids. You might not really need them. So the next topic I want to introduce is the availability of these opioids. So random fact, the number of prescriptions written by legitimate doctors practicing medicine has escalated, especially for opioids. 2012, the CDC actually reported that physicians wrote over 250 million prescriptions for opioids, which blew my mind. So I didn't have direct access to a physician to kind of ask them questions, but I do have a mom who is a registered nurse. She works in the ICU, so she didn't want to be recorded, so I have some questions and answers. First question I asked her, on average, what percentage of patients that are admitted to the ICU are prescribed some type of opioid? Her response, if I'm just guessing and estimating, about 75%. Next question. If patients ask for some type of opioid medication, is it relatively easy to persuade the doctor to prescribe it? Her response. Very, very easy, except for a few choice doctors. Wow. Okay. So, next question. I said, on average, how often do you get patients that are suffering from some kind of overdose? Her response. Daily. We get them daily. She said, and when we have overdose patients, they are a one-on-one, meaning instead of having two patients like I'm able to, I have to be in that room with that patient 24/7. She said it restricts their care, basically. Last question I asked her, what are your thoughts on the opioid epidemic? her response. It's real. She said, something I witness every day. We witness people who overdose and came in the ICU, and the first thing they do is ask for their Dilaudid or Percocet. And when we don't give it to them, they get furious, she said, and throw a fit. So it's just something that I want to emphasize that is very real, and although you might not see it every day, it is there, and it's affecting us. So I've heard these stories from my mom over the years. I've heard them before, and it blows my mind. We've also, my cousin, my mother's niece, she actually deals with opioid misuse. When she was in middle school and high school, she was prescribed numerous, you know, anxiety, depression medicines, pain meds. She had numerous surgeries, so she was getting prescribed, you know, Percocet, Vicodin. When she got older, she had become addicted. She couldn't afford these. She didn't have a job because she was a user. She eventually, you know, went to heroin. So it got so bad that, I mean, her kids weren't being taken care of, and my mom and I actually had to be the ones to call child protection services. And she ended up losing her kids, and it's something, you know, that we're still dealing with, but she has just chosen her path and has, as they refused help. So it kind of hits us hard. It's also kind of a reason why I chose my career, which kind of has to do with this whole epidemic. I've chosen to be a mental health counselor, so it's kind of something that I want to get involved in. I want to help. I want to try to talk to these people and understand what they're going through. It's something that, you know, it's not something they can fight alone. I want to help get more resources out there and help get kids who are being prescribed these medicines more education and more, you know, just information on what they're using. I also just think it's a huge thing of why these doctors that are prescribing these medicines need to love what they do. They need to listen to these people. And I think not just the physicians, but everybody, our community, is something that we need to try to help, is get this epidemic under control. And it's only one step at a time, but every little thing counts. So that kind of sums up how I feel about this. And thank you guys for listening.